Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Hey, welcome back to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Yesterday, we shared part one of a classic conversation from the archives with my longtime friend and colleague, the late Dr. James Dobson. As we mark the first anniversary of his passing this week, we reflect on his remarkable legacy and a life devoted to strengthening marriages and families. Here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, we continue to remember and pray for Doc's wife, Shirley, his children, and the entire Dobson family. Dr. Dobson dedicated his life to helping families navigate some of life's most challenging moments by pointing them toward truth and the wisdom of Scripture. As I mentioned, this conversation originally recorded back about a decade ago, but the fundamental needs of our children and the importance of healthy family relationships haven't really changed all that much. There's still a lot to be learned today from the principles that Dr. Dobson and I discuss here. Today, we continue our conversation about extra effort kids, those children who are a little more difficult to understand and connect with. Maybe you have a child like that in your life, someone you deeply love, but sometimes you struggle to reach in those meaningful ways to connect with them. How do you break through those barriers? How do you help a strong-willed child know that he or she is loved while building a stronger bond? That's where we're headed today. Let's jump back into my conversation with Dr. James Dobson.
We were talking about the difficult child. I call that individual the strong-willed child. Can be a boy or a girl or a child. I think you phrased it.
As an extra effort child.
Yeah.
Someone who just takes some extra out of your tank to connect with, to pour into, to parent. Like you say, parenting isn't for cowards. You got to show up every day. You know why? Because they need us. God's given them to us for a reason. He's placed them strategically in our care.
There are two groups of parents listening to us right now. One of them is made up of those who have only easy or what I call compliant kids. And it's duck soup. And you talk about overconfident. That parent often feels like I'm about the best parent in the world because I don't understand parents who say kids are stressful. They're not stressful. And then there's the other group of parents that's sitting there saying, finally, somebody understands what I'm going through. And what's really interesting is when a parent has a couple of those easy kids and then comes up with a tough-as-nails kid. Yeah. And all of a sudden, what did I do wrong? And the parents are—
We're stopping on this one.
On their knees and praying and saying, Lord, I feel like a failure, because you frequently do.
But like you say, Dr. Dobson, those children have unique qualities, just like the other children do, that when drawn out, oftentimes they'll wind up being leaders, champions, those
That's
who are
really
first into battle. And by the way, first ones to rush by your side.
That's
also
true.
You know, that in your moments of pain and brokenness. And so how do you connect with them? I think that's the question that keeps coming up. How do I partner up, if you will, with my son or daughter who's different than me, who may be shy, who may not be athletic, who may be moody, someone I just don't necessarily like to be around? One of the principles, Dr. Dobson, I've seen in research, and I'm waiting to hear some of your input on this, but people are now talking a lot about the quality of your relationship with your son or daughter. Saw some work by a preeminent psychologist in the area of oppositional defiance disorder. His name's Russell Barkley. And in his work, he claimed to have a 90-plus percent success rate in overcoming defiance, something you know a little bit about. But he claimed that if you could spend 20 minutes a day in command-free special time with a child, Not that that was the complete recipe, but if you would spend 20 minutes a day in that child's world, not condoning things that you don't want, but literally participating in their world. Zach, what do you want to do today? If I said, hey, let's go outside and play catch, no, that's an indirect command. That's not what he wants. He wants you to crawl into their world. That when you participated in that child's world for 20 minutes a day, radical things begin to happen in that relationship. A relationship begins to happen with your child. And he found that that element was at the heart of change in helping overcome defiance. What do you think may be at the heart of some of that, Dr. Dobson? Because it's hard. If you don't like being with somebody and you're going to spend 20 minutes a day with them, a lot of parents can't even get started.
I've written a lot about what I call the strength of the will. It was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden who were told that they could eat of any tree in the entire garden except one. And what did they want to do? Satan tempted Eve. Eve then passed it on to Adam. And they said, I know that the Creator has said, don't do this, but we want to do it. There is that determination, that self-will. I think that is original sin. That willful defiance in the face of even God himself. I'm not a theologian, but that's the way I interpret it. And we all have it to a degree. Even the easy child, the compliant child, will eventually express that will. It may be at 19 or 20, 22. And as a matter of fact, the rebellion is often
late.
Yeah, it comes anyway, but we've all got it. It's in the nature of mankind. And so you take a little child that's born, he's 7 pounds, he can't hold his own bottle, he can't turn over, he can't do anything for himself. And 2 years later, he's got the temerity to stamp his little foot and look a 200-pound man in the eye and say, where do you get off telling me what to do? It's in the nature of mankind, and I think it's inherited.
And in that, connecting with that child, moving into that child's world, learning about their nature. There's an old song that was entitled, What I Like About You. Mm-hmm. I think an important thing you've got to do as a parent is somehow you've got to move into that space, and you've got to look those children in the eye, and you've got to make a decision about what you're going to like or not like about that child. And you know, there's a statement out there that says every child deserves at least one person, hopefully it's two people, in his or her life who's crazy about him.
Yeah.
In a defiant kid, an extra effort child, a strong-willed child, whatever box you want to put them in for a moment, they still need to know that somebody's crazy about him, Dr. Dobson.
Absolutely. That's why I have recommended that after discipline has occurred, especially if it was a real confrontation and you have been forced to make the child uncomfortable, whether it's sitting in a chair or spanking or whatever it is, and the child, especially if he's cried, especially if there's been an emotional exchange, you open your arms and let him come. I mean, that's a point at which a child will want to be reassured. And pull him into your lap and say how much you love him and why you have to see that he minds, because God has given you as a parent that responsibility. If you don't stop when I say stop and you run out in the street, a car could hit you. There are dangers out there. You have to obey me. Whether you like it or not, you have to. But it's out of love, and it's because I care about you. There's a conversation there. I'm trying to put it into words. Every parent will have his or her own way of dealing with that. But you reconnect with this child with whom you have become distant. You agree with that?
I do agree with it, Dr. Dobson. I think some of the most meaningful moments in our family have been after a correction, after a discipline,
yeah,
where the embrace is so strong, it's like, you know what, at the end of the day, we love each other. We're here for each other. Yes, I'm the parent. Yes, you're the child. But most importantly, you're loved. You're not abandoned. I will not forgo my relationship with you because we have discipline. You know that?
Yeah.
You know, my son Zach, this was a kind of a unique situation, Dr. Dobson. Zach is a physical presence boy. He likes proximity. He likes closeness. He likes to feel, you know.
Your arm around him. Man.
Yes, he does. He enjoys, he needs that. He doesn't enjoy. He wants that. Even as a young man, he enjoys that kind of relationship. When he was little, we would do timeout as one of our discipline strategies. You know what I learned about Zach? That timeout almost wounded him. If I gave him timeout and I left the room, it was just devastating to him. It was almost like he felt completely abandoned. So recognizing that in him, here's an attunement issue. Understanding your child's temperament, understanding what is turning, say, the knob maybe a little bit too far or not, I started deciding to take time out with him.
Hmm, really?
So I took
time out. Sit beside him.
I sat beside him. We took
what a great idea.
Time out together is what we did. And he hated that too.
Yeah.
He did. But it mattered to him. You see, and it taught him the importance here.
Yeah, what you said is so valid. You have to know your child. Every one of them is unique. Every one of them's different. And what will crush one child, a look will crush some children. And they will think about it all day. And others, you can scream till you're red in the face.
And
I don't care.
Doesn't even mean a thing.
No.
Yeah.
In fact, they rather like it, I think, at times, to get this big adult all worked up. But you got to know your child. Last weekend, we had our grandkids over, and we took them to the grocery store. We were getting food for them and for us. And after we had done what we were there to do, we said, well, there's some toys here. See if there's one that you would like. And each one of them chose something. And little Lucy, who's 4 years old, chose a doctor kit. You know, I think it costs $4.99. I don't even remember. It's not much. And we brought it home. Now, it's no fun to play with something like that if you don't have somebody to play with. And so I told Lucy that I'd been in a car wreck and I was all beat up, and I went over and lay down on the couch, and she came over and she listened to my heart. She got it where the stomach is. She didn't know where the heart was. And then there were all kinds of Band-Aids in there, and she put them all over me. And she absolutely loved that because I was into her world.
It
was doing something with a child. Instead of bringing her into my world, like I entered into hers. And you can build a lot of goodwill with a child by doing that.
You know, that whole special time concept that we had talked about earlier, I believe with you that there's emotional connection that begins to take place when you step into their world. You learn what they like, what they don't like. You learn where their heart is. You learn what's significant to them, really important to them. And by the way, your presence, think about this, mom or dad, 20 minutes a day can revolutionize your relationship with your son or daughter. They actually begin to believe that you think they're important, that it's important to spend time with them.
Yeah.
There's a calming effect.
You know what works against that is this pace of living that we've allowed ourselves to get into. If I spend 20 minutes with this child, I'll never catch up the whole evening. You know, I get dinner to make. I've got to get the dishes in the dishwasher. I can't get my work done. I've got calls to make. Come on, is that what life's all about? You know, children do not function well on a to-do list. They need time with us. and they frequently don't get it.
Welcome back to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. We're continuing our classic conversation with the late Dr. James Dobson about reaching the strong-willed or extra effort child. These principles come from a conversation recorded, about a decade ago, but they're critical to understanding our children, loving them well, and strengthening our family bonds. Let's jump back in.
I think it's no coincidence, Dr. Dobson. I know you've been a champion of the family dinner table basically your whole life. New research coming out on teens and dinner. This is fascinating to me. You know what they found? The more you eat dinner with your teen, the better the effect is on that child, the more healthy they are.
Yeah.
And as I read the research, here's what I found. It was staggering to me. Is there a drop-off effect? In other words, if I eat dinner with my teen 3 times a week, is that enough? You know what they found? There was no drop-off effect. The more you ate dinner each week with your teen, the more healthy the outcome was for that son or daughter. Now, it's not about the food. Think about it.
Yeah, it can even be fast food. As long as you're sitting down together, turn the TV off.
Yeah, get rid of the phone.
Get it rid of the
iPad off.
Yeah, and look each other in the eye.
The conversations that take place. I think about hunting experiences. My dad pastored for nearly 60 years, but one of the things he loved to do was he spent time with his sons, in hunting. And we still go every year and get together. Recently, we went up to our place in Pennsylvania. There were 17 of us. Dr. Dobson, in those 4 days we spend together, it's not really about hunting. We enjoy getting outside. It's what takes place at that place with 17 men, family members, related family members, and friends.
How'd you keep from killing each other? 17.
That's pretty. It is
all
pretty.
Of them
it's pretty dangerous up there. I agree with you, but the time around the campfire, the time around the dinner table, the time out in the woods, working with our hands. Fishing, whatever. Legacy gets transferred. Important truths about how to live your life. History. There's so much.
The happiest days of my entire life. I've had a lot of happy days because I'm happily married. I've enjoyed raising kids. I've been rewarded professionally. I've had a lot of good things in my life. I sometimes feel like one of God's spoiled kids. But the happiest days of my life were going hunting with my dad when I was about 12 years old and being out there with him. He talked to me in ways he didn't talk to me at home because there was nobody else there but me, and we just got involved in conversations, and he was, there's a lot of intrigue in hunting. We were hunting squirrels early on, and we would try to outfox them. I would stomp around in the grass on the other side of a tree, and the squirrel would run for me, and then my dad would be there waiting for him. There's no way to put that in words or what it meant to me, and it bonded me to my dad. That's why I talk about him like I do so often, because he took time for me. He cared for me. Dad cared for you, too.
I share in that with you. I was blessed to have a wonderful dad. I don't call him a father. He was a dad. It takes somebody special to be a dad. That lesson is what we're trying to communicate back to those of you listening, and that is simply this. You got to learn what it is about your son or daughter that you love. What do you love about him or her? There's a lot to love about them. Take enough time to crawl in their world. I want to challenge parents too, Dr. Dobson, to spend. Try that exercise. Give 20 minutes a day. Don't let anything come in the way. And see what God begins to do. And even think about your relationship with God. Then think what would happen if you spent 20 minutes a day alone with God, and you were able to hear his voice, spend time in his word. I wonder what it would do to our soul inside. Here it comes back to our kids so much the more.
Ryan tells stories even today about being a teenager and after he was able to drive, being out there someplace and coming in at 10 or 10:30 at night. and walking in quietly and walking past our bedroom door and finding us on our knees praying for him. Mm. You know, what a priceless moment to see your son, see you calling his name before the Lord. I don't care how busy you are. There's nothing more important than that. And God will bless it. He hears and answers those prayers.
And that's the power of influence. You never know what moment or what moments God will use most in the life of your kids. Our responsibility is just to love them with everything we got, ask God for all the grace we can, and be there. Just be there. You know what? I agree with you. If that is true, that moment will come. Well, they'll come back around. Someday they will show up. I believe that.
And for kids to see parents loving each other. I'll tell another story about Ryan. He went over to see his grandmother and grandfather many years ago. I suppose Ryan was 25, 28 years of age by that time, and went over to their house in Long Beach. They always went in and out the back door, and so Ryan parked his car, and he came in the back door. He opened that door, and he saw his grandmother and grandfather sitting at a table, holding hands, and not talking, just looking at each other. And he said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We're just sitting here looking at each other." Hmm. They just wanted to be together. Oh, that sends chills down my back, I'll tell you.
It does. And God made it to be that way. It's about loving and being loved. I've made this statement, Dr. Dobson. There's no more beautiful thing in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they actually love you. And there's nothing more painful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you, and they don't love you.
Yeah.
And so God, help us. Help us to be defined by love.
Well, that takes us into marriage, Tim. So we just kind of rip from one family issue to another one. That's another one that we really ought to talk about, and how to make the very, very most of marriage. You've been married for how long?
36 years.
Think it's going to work?
As long as I let her run the house, we're good. We're in great shape. She's a wonderful girl. And I'll tell you what, I agree with you. Some of those moments you were talking about. The older I get, the more you realize that life's precious and God gives you moments. I don't want to miss a moment of life with her.
Mm-hmm. Or with your kids.
This wraps up our two-day conversation with the late Dr. James Dobson. What a gift to hear his wisdom again and to be reminded of his love for children and families. I hope the conversation encouraged you to continue pursuing, that difficult child in your life maybe, with patience, grace, love, even when connection doesn't seem to come easily. On behalf of my son and co-host Dr. Zach Clinton, see you back here next time. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.